Welcome to a Single Serving Podcast. I'm your host, Shaney Silver. I started this podcast because whenever I saw content for single women, it was about dating, how to date better, how to survive dating, and I know that we deserve more than that. So I created this podcast to change the way being single is seen, discussed, and felt, and I'm so happy to have you here with me. I hope you'll also consider joining the Facebook group for this podcast. It's become a really supportive community full of people sharing stories and encouraging one another and actually meeting up in real life too. There are three main ways that you can support this podcast. The first is simply share it. Share it with someone who needs to hear it, share it with your family, share it with your friends, anybody who could use a change in perspective when it comes to being single. The second way is you can rate and review this podcast on iTunes. It takes 2 seconds and it's a huge deal that really helps podcasters get more visibility and continue to do their work. And then the third way is you can become a patron of mine on Patreon. Patreon is a platform that helps independent creators earn money for creating the work that people enjoy. So there are multiple tiers that you can join, but my favorite one is a $5 tier that comes with an extra bonus episode of this podcast every single month. So there will be a link to it below. Check it out. And in the meantime, thank you so much for joining me. Hello and welcome to a Single Serving Podcast. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, I'm so happy to have you. Welcome. And if it is not your first time listening to this podcast, it will not surprise you that I just got out of a shower and the bathroom was dark at the time. I just showered by candlelight, and that is not information you need, but it is information you have. So welcome, everyone. I am so happy to be talking to you. August isn't good. I don't know any other way to say it. If you've been following me on Instagram or on Medium, you know that August has been a bit of a struggle. If you are a member of Sarah Powell's audience, I will describe it as a bit of a wobble. Actually, more than a bit. August has just been a giant, difficult wobble. So thank you all for being so amazing as an audience and so encouraging and supportive, and also just making me feel like I'm not alone in my wobbles. It's been a really tough month where I have not felt so great. And if you too are feeling very like down and are lacking motivation, maybe feeling a little bit more isolated than usual because, you know, we've been in quarantine for 5 months, you're not alone. And I thank you for being a part of this community and making me feel less alone as well. But yeah, if you listen to the episode with my friend Jess Wilkins, her second episode on this podcast is called Underwear for the Week. And in that episode, we discuss the benefits of showering in the dark and how lovely that is. And I also want to point out that the candle that I was burning in the bathroom at the time is a candle called Never Settle, which is ideal for this audience. And I also featured it in a recent blog post that I will link below if you want to shop for candles for single people that I thoroughly enjoy. And in addition to needing to take a beginning of the day self-care shower, I also threw some cookies in the oven at 7 a.m. So that's what's happening over here. Again, information you don't need, but I just like to set the stage for you. My guest today on the podcast, because this is a podcast with guests and it's not just me rambling about my morning habits, my guest is Nneka Okona, who you should know because she was the fifth guest ever on this podcast back when it started. I love Nneka's writing. She's a travel writer and she travels alone a lot. Well, she did before this. I really like her work. I like her writing and I like her, I just like her energy a lot. I like hanging out with her and I get to have whoever I want on this podcast. So Nneka and I hung out and now you get to listen to that. I will start the episode for you in a moment, and I hope you enjoy it. Before that, I want to let everyone know I'm currently planning all of my episodes for the fall. And so if you have any guest ideas, anybody that you want me to bring on the podcast, anyone you want me to reach out to, or any topics you would like me to address, you are welcome to let me know what those are. You can email me whenever you want. My email address is asingleservingpodcast@gmail.com. And I write back to everybody. I'm always delighted to hear from you. So feel free to get in touch. The other thing I want to remind everybody about is that the very first Patreon group Zoom is happening this coming Saturday, August 22nd. And if you don't know what that is, through my Patreon, which is how this podcast is able to exist, through the support of patrons there. Thank you all so much, you absolute Vikings. There's a new tier on Patreon. And it is a group Zoom where I'm going to be able to see your faces and you will be able to see my face and we will talk about real change around single life, really looking at what this is and how we perceive it and how we can feel better about the way we perceive it and sort of
implement a lot of what I talk about on this podcast, and I will go through how I've done that. And you guys can ask me whatever questions you want. The agenda is completely patron-led, and I will release the agenda in advance so everyone knows what's coming. And if you are unable to attend the group Zoom, but you are on that Patreon tier, I will be posting the video of it so you can watch it later, because I know that we're all over the world and times are not always convenient for everybody. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited to see your faces. I cannot wait for that. And in addition, thank you guys so much for rating and reviewing this podcast. I see it when you do that. And whenever you subscribe or rate or review this podcast, you're helping it get in front of more people and you're helping it grow. And the more this podcast grows, the longer I get to keep doing it. Because as all of you are aware, I do not get paid to create this podcast, but someday I would really like to. So thank you for helping the growth of this podcast. And thank you for just being such a wonderful wonderful supportive audience. And you can see that firsthand if you're in the Facebook group or if you were following along on Instagram. This is just a really wonderful space, and I'm so happy that I get to spend so much time with all of you. So I will go ahead and play the episode with NECA. I mean, maybe first I'll dry my hair because this is not a good look, and then I will play the episode with NECA, but you won't know that I've gone to dry my hair because I'm not going to record that bit for you. I don't feel like it's entertaining. Anyway, I hope everyone has an absolutely fabulous week. We will get through August, I promise. It will be Labor Day eventually, and it will start to cool down, and hopefully whatever seasonal affective wobbly shit is going on with me will get better. But I can tell you this much, creating this podcast and creating things for you guys is certainly helping. So thank you all so much for being here. So sorry I'm not wearing a bra to have this conversation, but I feel like we're in a pandemic and maybe that's acceptable behavior.
Oh my God, I actually have on a bra. What's wrong with me?
I feel personally attacked by my underwear drawer. Every time I open it up and there are bras sitting in there staring at me, I'm like, you have the audacity to still exist during this day.
I keep thinking about like all the hours I spent wearing a bra in public and how that hour is just like maybe like an hour per week. That's when I go to the grocery store. That's pretty much it.
And where did all that bra wearing in public get us? You know?
You want the real answer? Or is that just...
We're long overdue for a hangout, first of all.
I know.
I will say to everyone listening to this, so NECA is my fifth guest ever. And that happened well over a year ago. And she is back on the podcast today for reasons you will soon hear. But in general, we have been meaning to like hang out for a while. And this is as close as we can get. Even if we were down the street from each other, this would be just like how things were going.
Oh, it's so funny because I actually told myself that I was going to like spend time in New York this year.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened.
I mean, what plans didn't get canceled? Is there anything other than women who were like already pregnant and the baby was coming anyway? I feel like plans of any sort were absolute. Like you thought you were going to go to school tomorrow? No, you're not going to do that. Were you planning on working or, I don't know, maybe going to Target? Like, did you have that plan? Because that's not going to happen either.
Every day I wake up, I just like, sometimes I have those moments where I'm like, is this actually life? I've been feeling this way since March. Like every now I'm just like, wow, like we've really been stuck at home since March.
Like, I felt this way since 2016, but like this is just up leveled that disbelief to heights that I can't fathom. It's sometimes so insane. You're right. When you think about it, like when you really sit with it for a minute and you're like, what the fuck is actually happening? Like there's really a global pandemic. What is this?
Right. I don't even know what else to say. I don't know. Like on Instagram, you know how they have like the on this date 2 years ago, and like all my things from like 1 year ago or 2 years ago, 3 years ago was like me traveling through Europe. I'm just like, this sucks.
I sometimes see your posts come through. And they're typically pretty travel related. And every time I see one, I'm like, oh my God, did she get out? Where is she? I'm like, did she escaped? You were on my podcast the first time because you are very, very adept at solo travel because it is a huge part of your profession. And so that's why we were chatting the first time. But since we can't go on airplanes anymore, anywhere, really. I just wanted to have you back to talk about other things, but just in general, also to hang out. For those people who have not heard your first episode, tell everybody who you are, where you are, and what you do for a living.
My name is Neko Okona. I'm in Atlanta, unwillingly. I always used to say, like, Atlanta was just, like, excuse me, my launch pad into, like, the rest of the world. And just, it was just essentially where I used to come back to after I traveled, just to rest, because I'd be so exhausted. And so I'm here in Atlanta, have been grounded since March. When was the last trip I took? The last trip I took was Savannah, Georgia, and that was the end of February. And I drove, and I came back on the first week of March, and I was like, wow, that was a great trip. Where am I going next? And then 2 weeks later, of course, everything was shut down. So it's been a weird adjustment for me to kind of, like, embrace stillness in a way that I'm not really used to as a person. Still writing. I've been a journalist for 15 years this month, actually.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And yeah, I don't feel like I answered that adequately, but
I feel like you did. I feel like you totally did. I have a lot of aspirations to visit Savannah because Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil is one of my favorite movies, Spacey notwithstanding. And I've never been, and I would really, well, first of all, I really haven't spent much time in Georgia at all, which is an absolute shame. But the fact,
well,
that
this is definitely the wrong time of the year to come because it's hot as hell.
I have been considering leaving New York and potentially moving to one of a variety of southern cities to lower my, like, monthly cost per living so that I can do things like you do, which is travel and perhaps live in another country for a month at a time, something like that. If I lowered my, like, my rent and various costs of living, like, could I do things like be in Barcelona for a month or be in Paris for a month and make that work? But the major deterrent, if not the only deterrent in my mind right now, is the heat, genuinely speaking.
Yeah, I mean, people are, like, all sad about this pandemic and being stuck inside is, like, and although it's, for me, the main thing is that I'm just bored. but, like, I'm not mad at being inside because summer is, like, my least favorite season because, like, I sweat like a hog.
This is why, like, we're friends. Fuck summer. I can't stand summer. Everyone's like, oh my God, summer's so amazing. Do you like sand in your ass crack? Is that how you want to live? Okay.
I always tell people beaches are not relaxing. They're stressful for me. Like, I do not enjoy going to the beach at all. Like, give me, like, a mountain or a lake situation. Like, that's much more my speed. But beaches, no. I don't know.
The best part of the beach is the shower you take when you walk off the sand. They have those little showers, you know, on, like, the boardwalk that you can wash the filth off of you because you are coated. Like, your sunblock is just a magnet for beach debris and film. And so that shower that you take when you leave the beach is the entire reason I go to the beach because that feels so good afterwards.
The thing that I hate about going to the beach is, like, no matter how much you do that shower right off the beach and then another shower once you're back to your hotel or whatever, the sand is in places you didn't know that it could be. Like, it's just, I hate it.
It is the devil's confetti, just absolutely everywhere, everywhere. So we know you are in Atlanta quarantining. What is your general, like, and I know that this is a funny question to be asking, but what is your general outlook on life right now? Because mine tends to fluctuate between, we're going to make it, it's going to be fine, this is temporary, and my life is in the toilet, get me out of here immediately, that kind of thing.
Wow, that's a very loaded question.
Isn't it?
I'm just going to preface this by saying that inherently I'm not a positive person. I'm very, like, pessimistic. So, like, all my self-work and inner work is to not be that very doom and gloom person. Or I used to call myself a sad girl, trademark. Because I'm just not an enthusiastic person. But, like, I mean, I'm supportive. But, like, I don't know. I feel like with, like, what you said, it varies from day to day, but generally, like, I am grateful to be alive. I think this time has given me the space to process a lot of things I've needed to process. That is not to say that it hasn't been excruciatingly difficult, because it has. I think I've just been like really focusing on really building community, because that's something that really escaped me when I was just all over the entire world constantly. I didn't have enough time to do that. And realizing the importance of having community, having people within your inner circle, having people to just share with, things like that. So grateful for most things and hating the boredom and the monotony.
It would help if there was some kind of light at the end of the tunnel, some indication of this will be wrapped up and vaccinated by such and such date. But the uncertainty of it all, I think, is the hardest thing for me to take. Like the, I don't know if this is going to be another month or another year. And that's, that kind of scares me, but also it's a very, I think it's a very manageable fear. If you look at prior crises of generations past, like, you know, war, I feel like, I feel like I'm very safe and very comfortable in my apartment, and I'm very, very lucky to do that. But it's, there's so much fear of the unknown that I think it's unsettling at the moment.
Yeah. I think for me, the main thing is just realizing that there's this illusion of having certainty in our lives that I think this pandemic has like upended. Like we think that we know what's going to happen predictably, but the truth is we actually don't, and nothing is certain. Nothing is actually really known. I think we just all live to create some sort of comfort in shielding ourselves from that. But I don't know. It's not easy though, not in the least, to kind of hold that.
I agree. And by the way, not being enthusiastic about things is a completely valid state of being, and I fully appreciate it in a person.
I'm not an enthusiastic person. Like, I can get really excited about random things, but in general, I'm a very kind of Daria type of person. Like, I am just, I don't know, like, speaking of, like, an editor, literally, like, I was working on some edits, and they were like, oh, we'd love if you could make your voice, like, more, like, playful and upbeat. And I was just like, do you actually, have you read any of my writing? Because in what writing have I ever been upbeat? I don't even use exclamation points. Like,
I hate it when they try to change your voice into something that they want, but it's like they hired you. So what was, you know?
Right. Like, ugh.
Well, this is a Daria Stan account, for lack of a better way to put it. I'm in a group of women. My friend Jamie started this brilliant sort of cohort of women, and we are united around the fact that like twice a month we get together and present PowerPoint presentations to each other on any topic that we want. And the goal is to either educate or delight this massive group Zoom of women. And my last PowerPoint was called BDE, and it stood for Big Daria Energy. And it
was, oh my God, I love that.
It was people and things that embody the energy of Daria Morgendorfer. And there was, I mean, it really varied wildly from the, like the dad on Frasier, to one of my personal favorites is Jaleesa Vinson from A Different World. I mean, it ran the gamut. It was just like, what? Oh, the scary cabinet under the sink has huge Daria energy.
Yeah.
You know, where you keep all of the weird ant killer and the gross stuff. Like, just such anything that you would like open it up to go in and you don't want to be there. That's just very much Daria energy. So that was my favorite PowerPoint that I've done so far. I don't know what the next one's going to be though.
That sounds like an incredible group. Oh my gosh.
I'll invite you. Join us.
Okay.
You would be smart. It's like everyone's PowerPoints were so wildly different and so interesting. And like some of them are very genuinely very, very educational. And I was like, oh, I actually learned something today with this giant Aperol spritz in my hand. This is fucking fantastic.
I love it.
What have you been up to personally and professionally since we spoke roughly a year and a half ago?
That is, wow. Well, I'm a year older now, which is kind of weird. Can't believe I'm going to be like 35 next year. It's crazy. Like not in the, oh my God, I'm getting old type of thing. And just, oh my God, I didn't realize I was actually going to get older and it's happening.
Like you've done 35 years worth of life. That is an accomplishment.
I'm just like, what is happening? Yeah, I think last year, 2019, is really a blur to me because I spent like literally like all over the world everywhere. I actually flew so much last year. I finally got like status on an air carrier. I was just like, this is, and now I can't use it.
But, they should extend your status. Obviously, they're going to extend your status because of this nonsense, right?
Right.
Tell me it's Delta. Tell me it's Delta.
It's not Delta, regrettably. It's American. Ew.
I have never flown any airline consistently enough to get close to status because while I prefer Delta, I also like to pay rent. And sometimes their prices are a little beyond my reach.
Sometimes? Like, is there like a bougie airline? I'm just like, and not to say like when you pay, what you pay for is you definitely get like a different mode of service. Totally. Right. But you're right. Sometimes, most of the time, their fares are just not in the budget. I'm just like, girl, what?
Like, did you need to have Marc Jacobs design the uniforms? I didn't need to pay for that.
So extra.
Was it Marc Jacobs or am I getting the designer wrong?
I can't Something remember. Like that. I don't know. I mean, the uniforms are really cute. Like, I'm not going to lie about that. But it's just very Delta.
It's very Delta. Okay, well, the reason why I wanted to have you back on the podcast, well, one of them anyway, it's just nice to talk to you again. But you recently tweeted, because that's how I keep up with my friends, you tweeted about something you recently launched called the Self-Care Studio. I would like to know what it is and what made you start it?
All my ideas, I never really know where my ideas come from. They just come. I think I've always told people that's a very like Gemini problem. Like I'm always juggling multiple things, and that's how I have to like not be like mentally bored. Like I have to keep like creating. So I can always think of an idea, but like a lot of times I just lose the steam and I don't really execute it, and it just becomes like a domain that I bought and I just never do anything. I have so many of those. Like, it's ridiculous.
Someone will buy that from you someday and you'll make a bunch of money.
Hopefully. So essentially, it's just been this time in the pandemic has really clarified for me personally the ways in which I was not taking care of myself. And it's kind of been unavoidable since I'm not going anywhere. I'm not at the airport 3-4 times per month. I'm not spending hundreds in Uber and Lyft every month. And so like there are a lot less distractions, and it just has become clear to me that I was like, wow, like I have not been taking good care of myself, and just fooling myself that I had, and also just like continuing to do things that maybe worked for me in the past in terms of self-care, but like are not what I need right now. I think that's one thing that people don't think about in terms of self-care. You have to continually update what you need and ask yourself what you need because it changes. One of my friends, Yvette Dion, who is the editor-in-chief of Bitch Media, she talks a lot about self-care and has written about it in the past. And she said that her therapist told her that self-care is a discipline. Like it needs to be something that you habitually do day in and day out, even when you don't want to. That's what discipline is about. And so she said that to me, and that just really stuck with me personally, because I had never really thought of seeing self-care as a discipline, something that you do in that way. I like most people, you kind of think of it as like one-off little things that you do that you may need in the moment. So thinking of it that way just kind of revolutionized things for me, and it kind of helped me to like tangibly see how I could improve the self-care versus it just being like an abstract concept that I needed to improve upon. And I thought it would be like a powerful space for me to include that within my newsletter, talking to other Black women, because like it can be difficult for us specifically in unique ways, and just creating that space for there to be like open and honest conversations about like the struggles with it, the things that have made us joyful in terms of self-care, the insights, the growth. That was really my intention. I just came up with a name. I don't know where that came from. It just came to me. And so every 2 weeks I interview, quote unquote, another Black woman, and we just talk about self-care. And I've done two of them so far. And although there are similar themes that come up, like boundaries is a huge thing that I found I've talked about it at length in both conversations, like the insights are so different. Like it's incredible. Like self-care is very individualized. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I have a guest suggestion for you if you're open to it. And I'm going to wait for this big ass ambulance to pass before I tell you who it is.
It got kind of busy over there.
It's, you know, it's not rare. That sound is not rare. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed Femi Olafeoye Omogbeyi, and she is a self-love activist who I thoroughly enjoyed speaking to. She might be an awesome guest for your project as well. She has such, she, you guys have actually said the same thing directly to me, and that is that self-care changes with who you change into becoming.
Yeah.
And it's, there's so much more personalization to self-care than I think can be easily absorbed by like digging into the mainstream of it. Like there are, there's no like one stop, like, oh, this is a really great thing or program or class or practice, I'm done now. Like that's not really a thing. It's always evolving, I think, and like tailoring to the individual. It's, I think it's a little bit dangerous to put all your eggs in one self-care basket and ever assume that you are done learning and evolving. I love the idea of it being a discipline. And I actually cannot find your friend's book anywhere online. So if she knows of a treasure trove where they're still on sale, I would really like to buy it. And I can't. I've been like digging around everywhere and I can't find the book. So.
Oh no.
Just but that's a success problem, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's what we want. We want a sold out book. Like that's, that's the dream. That is the dream. So if someone's coming to your newsletter, to the self-care studio for the first time, what are the goals of it that you would want communicated to them? What do you want them to know about it?
That's a really good question. I want them to kind of feel empowered to look at within themselves and their own lives and take what resonates. I think that's a really important thing. Like, I don't think every conversation is going to holistically be for everyone. I don't think that's how wisdom and learning about ourselves works. But I would hope that whoever reads it, whatever resonates, they take those gems with them and apply it in ways that make sense for them in their own lives, what they need. And kind of just use maybe as a stepping stool for exploring like your own insight. I think that sounds like weird, but we have, most of us anyway, have a little bit more time to sit with things. And as uncomfortable as it can be, I think it can be really enlightening. I personally am of the thing that sometimes like it's good to have those connections with other people and support, but a lot of times when we're searching for answers and clarity, it's within ourselves. And it's all about just kind of finding ways to tap into like yourself so that you're not distracted, because it's so easy, whether it's social media or just like reaching out to folks or working or, you know, so I would just hope that it would just be surface, just like some inspiration and
Why do you think sitting with that self stillness is so difficult? I get anxiety sitting and doing nothing, and that feels wrong to me.
Right. I know for me personally, I don't know. Are you really into astrology?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm a Sagittarius moon, but I have a Sagittarius stellium in my chart. So movement is very innate to who I am as a person. Like being still is just literally hard for me just because like I need actual movement to be connected to myself. Like it's, and I didn't understand that like, Sagittarius is a sign of travel, but like just movement in general. So for me, it's hard just because like it forces you to face truths that maybe, are uncomfortable truths. And also I think it's hard. Like it really is.
The simplest
like,
answers are the ones you should go with.
It's hard. Like doing inner work and tending to your own trauma and working through like dealing with emotional, what I call emotional management, mm-hmm. like being able to sit with what you feel and then being able to translate the processing you've got from sitting with your own feelings into being able to communicate and expressing that to someone else if it calls, the situation calls for it. It's just hard. And people just don't do it just because it requires a lot of literal like energy, mental energy, emotional energy. And everyone is, we're all imperfect people. So there's no way to really know how people will react to us evolving, how people will react to us like saying, hey, like setting boundaries and saying, hey, like that didn't make me feel so great. Can we talk about it? Like, it's just hard. It's easy to just to not embody those things and to not have those uncomfortable conversations. And it's easy to just kind of like coast through life unaffected, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I also see so much more ability to live more fully when I don't avoid those things. It's kind of like worth the adjustments and the growing pains of that. I have a Libra stellium. I am a Cancer sun and I have a Libra stellium, which means I think I am Batman. I think I have a really tough time with, I have a really tough time when people fuck with single women. I have a really, really difficult time with that. I see a lot of imbalance and unfairness to that. And I think that's why I like bark into a microphone once a week about how perhaps we should have broader and happier discussions about single life so that we don't rush mm-hmm. to relationships that are maybe not so good for us. I don't know. Just,
right. Yeah.
I don't really know that much about, I very recently like noticed, which sounds weird, but I just noticed that I have a Libra stellium. I also have like a stellium in my ninth house, which I do not understand at all. And I need to do a lot more research into, but I do know that I have at least three planets in Libra and at least, four in my ninth house, something like that. I have a lot of empty houses, and then wherever the planets party, they do so as a group. So it's that's just what I think. I
need if to I can recommend another book, I have you read Chani Nicholas' book on astrology? It's really good.
Do you know how long that's been in my cart, and I just haven't checked out? I really need to just go ahead and get it.
Yeah, and it's just like the cover is pretty because it has like a reflective kind of holograms. Yeah.
I just read her horoscopes today for August, and they always are very, I don't like when astrologers approach astrology through a, this is good, this is bad kind of a lens. I mm-hmm. look at it all as just sort of educational and food for thought and maybe some strategy, but, I like the way hers reads. I like the, it's basically just stuff to consider or maybe like to be aware of as you move through the next month. But in general, yeah, this is very much an astrology household for sure.
Like I look at astrology really as being like a tool for self-awareness. Like I think that's the best way for me. It's been applied in my life. I think people get really weird when you start talking about astrology, although the three wise men in the Bible were astrologers and they literally follow the stars. Like that's
pretty much the definition there.
I think people just get really weird. And then like, I come from very religious and Christian people who are just resistant to other ways of self exploration. But I think if used well, like it just gives us like a lot of things to know about ourselves in ways that feel more edifying. Mm-hmm. And I also don't like the astrologers who tell you like everything that is wrong with the sign. Like Gemini, you're two-faced. That's your problem. And I'm just like, what is this? Like
that is such a teen magazine description of a Gemini.
I'm just like. Did you have a bad experience with a male Gemini? Which I totally get that because they are not. The men of any sign are trash though. Like that's my summation.
You are absolutely preaching to the choir on that one. You know what though? That's a really great point that you bring up. Why do you think, and this is true of the religion that I was raised in as well. It's so odd to me that like, it's almost as if like, if you dig into your own astrology or to astrology in general, it somehow is like, contradicting or going against the religion that you were raised with. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they have such a hard time coexisting. I mean, I do know it's because like the religion you're in, they want you to believe that and only that. And like, that's the end of the discussion. But I think it would be really cool if there was like a extremely non-denominational house of worship that folded astrology into it as well. I think I might swing by.
That would be dope, actually. I think the problem with like religion in general is it's too often used as a means of control. And astrology as a construct and a concept of a tool of self-awareness is like the opposite of that. Like, you can't control people if they tap into the autonomy and they know who they are and they're able to assert their self-worth. So I think that's why it's really at odds.
Agreed. And you are such a beacon of autonomy too. I feel like anyone who is even remotely interested in seeing the world on their own needs to dig into your work and dig in aggressively, particularly if you have any interest in Spain. You need to be following NECA.
Thank you so much for that.
It's true. You're very welcome. It's I see sometimes your travels and like the way that you are like connecting with businesses that you're writing about or something like that. And it's just like, it feels like a very all in approach to things. And I always find so much like personal caution and nerves around traveling. Even if I'm going someplace that I've been before on my mm-hmm. own, like there's always just a little bit of, am I going to be okay here in the back of my head? And you seem to live your travels fully, which is why I want to just tag along sometime. Like I'll be quiet if you want. Like, I just kind of want to go to one of these places that you go to that just looks like you're really seeing the world. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I honestly, people are surprised to know, like, when I do go to places I've never been before, I usually don't sleep well at all, and I'm pretty anxious. Like, that's just a regular part of it. But part excitement, part of like walking into the unknown, not knowing what I could find myself in. But the good thing about solo travel that I've been doing all these years is that it has allowed me to really tap into self-trust. And so when I kind of get in those places where I'm just like really jittery, just kind of tell myself, you can handle whatever happens. Like, literally, I've dealt with the craziest shit while traveling. Like, so including like doing couch surfing and being held captive by a person who was couch surfing, who was leading my couch surfing. This is when I was in Milan years ago. And like, I was literally screaming at him in public for him to take me back to his place so I could get my stuff and eat. Like, he was like, no, we can't go back. So I've dealt with like a lot of like sketch and crazy situations while traveling, and I managed to figure it out. So I kind of lean on that when I get nervous.
I mean, there is some real self-reliance to Sagittarius as well. My best friend is a Sagittarius.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of capability and like a quiet, I've got this to the lovely Sagittariuses in my life. Is that how you say it? Sagittariuses? Sagittarii? I don't know how you pluralize that word.
Sagittarians? I don't know.
Sagittarians. Thank you. I knew it was there somewhere. Thank you very much. Of the conversations you have had thus far within the self-care studio, what have you learned from talking to the women that you've spoken to?
I've learned that we all have our struggles. And it's interesting because both of these women, I consider them to be friends. And they're also women that I immensely respect in terms of their careers and being creative people. And people just in general that are like, I would say, quote unquote, have it together. But like, I think that just kind of plays into this entire idea of like the Black woman and the assumed strength that is always like, that goes along with it. Like, always assuming that a Black woman has it all together. Like, you know, the meme that's going around, like, check on your strong friend. I feel like people generally just think that every Black woman is a strong friend. Like, we just don't suffer. We don't struggle. We don't, you know. So just being able to hold space for those vulnerabilities for them, like, I was really honored to do that. And it just let me know that, like I said, like, we all have our struggles. We all have our things that are hard for us. And we can't be afraid to kind of lean on people when we are having those moments and asking for help, which is hard for me personally. But yeah.
Do you think that that presumed strength and that sort of like vulnerability void sometimes can lead to a reluctance to ask for help?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, like it just, I know for me personally, like I just don't want, there's so much that goes into it. Like I, in addition just to being a Black woman, like I'm the daughter of an immigrant. So like the immigrant mentality is like something else that I work with. And I'm the oldest Nigerian, and I'm the oldest in my family. And being the oldest in the Nigerian family comes with like a lot of responsibility and obligation. Just a lot of bullshit, honestly. Honestly, being the oldest and having to like take up so much responsibility at a young age. Like I remember being responsible for stuff as young as 9 years old. It is 200% the reason why I am not really interested in marriage and not, definitely don't want kids. It's just like, damn, like I've had to be responsible for everyone my entire life. Can I just be responsible for me? So coming from that space of actually putting yourself in the realm of being vulnerable and people seeing that, yo, like I have struggles too, like this is hard for me. It's humanizing, but like at the same time, it's kind of like it's internalized strength that I grapple with too. Like I kind of tell myself I shouldn't feel like I need to reach out to someone else. I should be able to tap into self-soothing. Like I should be able to like handle it myself, but that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Humans were created to be within community with each other. And self-care is all good and great, but community care I think is important too. Like they don't need to be polar opposites. They just need to be different sides of the same coin, I think. So yeah.
Birth order is bullshit. I would like to start there because I really detest that moment of like, I had a little brother growing up. I have three now, but I had a little brother growing up. And it was, the dynamic was always that I always had to be the bigger person. I always had to be the more responsible person mm-hmm. because you're the big sister. It is your job to take the brunt of your little brother being a little shit your entire childhood. You can't ever fight back or cry or scream or tantrum just like him because he's the little brother and you have to bear the brunt of being the good one right now. You have to set that example. And like, I didn't realize this, of course, until I was an adult, because when you're a child, you don't know shit. But as an adult, I'm like, we were on the same team. Like, I don't understand why these 3 years in between us, and of course our genders, like we could get into that all day
right,
long.
Yeah.
But like, mm-hmm. I don't understand why there is such a heavy lift for the eldest. Like that, we're all on the team. I don't get it. That birth order fucks me up sometimes. It really does.
It honestly fucked me up. It was really in my 30s. When I turned 30 was when I actually started to like realize that a lot of like the shit that I was struggling with was because of all that was projected onto me as the oldest. Like I definitely got that like oldest kind of responsibility type from my mom, because I think just culturally in the US that's a thing, like birth order matters. But then on top of that, like having the immigrant thing, which like within African families the oldest, like it's taken to another level. Like it's suffocating amount of pressure is what I say. So you're right, like I genuinely felt like I did not have a choice but to be responsible my entire life, and that type of pressure is not healthy. And it leads to issues. For me, it's like depression and anxiety, because it's like when you are constantly being pressured your entire life to be perfect, and then inevitably you fuck something up because you're human, and that's just what happens, and you have to mess up to learn sometimes. It creates like just for me just like a breakdown, like just like I can't be this perfect person that you want me to be because I'm still learning about myself, and that means I'm gonna do dumb shit because I'm learning.
Even the eldest child is allowed to do dumb shit. That's
right.
Okay.
Like it's okay if I'm reckless. Like it's okay. Like yeah, it's just so damaging. Birth order is man.
I feel like we live our childhoods the first time and then we deal with them in our 30s. I feel like the decade is the decade of reconciliation with everything that you grew up with and like fully like understanding what that was, what it did, how it's repeating in your patterning now, and then doing something about it if you don't like it. There are wonderful things about when I was a little kid that I love, and I am very happy to have those things. But the things that were not so great, there is so much work in the self-care realm to reconcile things for myself and to improve upon shit that I don't like. But are you, so if you don't mind me asking, how many siblings do you have?
I have 3 younger sisters, so always fun times in this household. No, really, it's just loud as fuck. Like, 4 kids. Yeah.
It is a lot. We are 4 as well. I am the eldest, and I have 3 brothers younger than me. It is. It does feel like a lot, but it also feels like a. It feels like a little squad in a way.
Yeah, it's been really like really interesting as my sisters, we've all gotten older. Our relationships have changed, and also at the beginning of quarantine I was actually with 2 of my sisters, like, because like I live in our family house in Atlanta, and my sister, one of them that lives in New York, she was just like, I'm scared, I'm coming to the house. And I was like, what? And then my youngest sister ended up there like a week later, and I was just like, what is happening? Like, so it was really weird because like we never lived with each other as adults, and I was with them for about like 2-3 months, and that was difficult. But I, at the end of it, I was like really grateful to see like the growth in that relationships, and I'm interested just to see like how we continue to, you know, bond with one another as we get older. Like, it's really cool, actually.
For sure. There's so much of adulthood as siblings that I think you get to live. I like that gut instinct that so many people had to return to the hive as soon as shit hit the fan. I did not, because I was so scared I was going to get my mom sick. I was absolutely shaking, petrified. I'm like, I don't know when I can see my parents again and be okay with that. Because it's not like there was a section of the house where like they could just lock me in. Like, they don't have like a separate like wing or something that I could just sit. It was like we would all be in the same space and I would be very much in danger of getting them sick. Or the other way around, by the way. Like, Texas has its fair share of coronavirus, that is for sure. But there were so many friends of mine that returned home, some of whom did so permanently now. Like, they have left their New York apartments.
Like, so many New Yorkers that I know that are like Southerners returned to the South, which has been really interesting to watch.
it's like a weird migration almost back to their like point of origin. I've never really considered leaving Brooklyn. I really haven't. Like, I was just like, you know what? I think I'm good. Like, I think I'm okay here forever. I really love it here. This is home. And then about, I don't know, month 3 or 4 of quarantine, I was like, let's reassess. Let's look into, like, because this rent is not worth it if I'm not fully living here. Like, if I'm not experiencing Brooklyn or experiencing New York, this rent is not worth it, quite frankly. And so I was just like, well, maybe if I go somewhere else, and then I can travel more and just like sort of not feel like I'm getting swindled every time I write a rent check. That would also be, that would be nice. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised that you're considering like adjusting like your life to fit new priorities. Like, I think for me, that's why like I kind of stayed within this arrangement, just like living in the house I grew up in and taking care of it for my parents. It's just because it didn't make sense to me to like spend rent, which in Atlanta, like the income inequality in Atlanta is actually like the highest in the country, and I don't think people realize that. And rent is, there is no affordable housing here. Like, it just doesn't exist. So it didn't make sense to me to think about paying rent if I was literally never going to be there. Like, before, I would be traveling pretty much every week of every month. So like, why? It didn't make sense to me. Like, I'm just gonna stay at the house I grew up in, and I'm gonna give my parents money to pay for bills and stuff, and, you know, take care of it since they're older anyway. I mean, I think there's no shame in adjusting your life for other things. And And I think that's really the harmful thing that we do with like heteronormative, like societal standards. Like I have had to wrestle a ton with this fact that I was not a real adult because I don't have a mortgage, or I'm not doing this and my living arrangement is not traditional. And I'm just like, but it works for you. That's all that matters. Like,
yeah. I've definitely had conversations about that prolonged childhood, that it can feel like when you haven't, you know, partnered and bought a house and had the baby, like it's just, there's this perpetual kids table of life that you can't get up from if you haven't yeah. done things the way that it's societally yeah. totally cool to do them. There's a real lack of acceptance of unique ways of living that don't yeah. harm anybody.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
I don't get it. Like, of course, my parents are hellbent, you know, I'm African, like, so they are to the death of me. They're going to be wondering when I'm going to have a kid. Like, that's just like, you have to further the family line. That's the kind of stuff they say. Like, but like, I'm waiting for them to get to the point where they actually realize that I was not just talking about not having kids. Like, they realize, like, oh, like, she was not kidding. Like, she's 40 and she has no kids. Like,
I think this is the way it's going to be now. Yeah. This is how it's going to go.
I'm excited for that day because it's just like, I was not kidding. But it's just like, how do you, like, get to the point of acceptance? Because realizing that my life may not have all these other traditional things, but that also means that I've created space to be of support to other people because I have a little bit more flexibility. So it behooves you to actually be respectful about the choices I have made, because like, if you need support or someone within the village to help you, why would you piss me off and demean me?
A valid point. A very valid point. I think my mom actually finds a lot of comfort in knowing that like, I've got her when shit hits yeah. the fan. Both my parents, like we're good. I will handle shit, and I'm very capable and thankfully this time like free to be that support if mm-hmm. they need it. I'm not going to fly down there and give them coronavirus, but I feel like in, yeah. you know, in regular times, they know that I'm, you know, down to help essentially. What is one thing that you would like all Black women to know about self-care?
I'd like Black women to know that self-care doesn't have to be, it's not really one thing. It's a lot of different things. I think everyone has a different approach to it, but as I said earlier in this conversation, you kind of have to, when you're looking at self-care, I think the most helpful thing to do first is to really check in with yourself. You have to really ask yourself what you need. And I think for a lot of us, that can be very weird because we don't really check in. We're too busy like kind of outsourcing what we need to other people, whether romantic partners or friends or bosses or family, you know. So it can be really hard to kind of get in the space where you ask yourself what you need and look to yourself to give it to yourself. But I think that's a really good place to start. For instance, for me, I realized that during this quarantine that I needed to do one thing for myself every day, because especially when I was quarantined with my family and my parents were both immunocompromised. So like I was constantly like the first few months I was like arguing with my parents because they were just like going out every day. And I'm just like, why are you doing this?
Such a role reversal, don't you think?
I know. I'm just like, I'm raising my parents and they are not listening to me. Like,
oh my God.
So I had to get in a place where like I actually asked myself what I needed and if there was one thing I could do for myself every day, because I was so stressed and overwhelmed worrying about everyone else, which is something that I've tended to do with family anyway for a long time. And for me, like I got back into meditation. Like I learned how to meditate when I was 27. So in my 20s, and it changed my life back then, but it was just one of those things I wasn't that actively doing anymore, but realized that it was a really invaluable tool that I could be using just to set the tone for every day and to give myself a little space to process before I begin my day versus literally rolling out of bed and emailing, tying my feet hit the floor, like to give myself a little buffer. So I would say that's the main thing, like knowing that it's an individual thing and you have to start with just really checking in and asking yourself what you need. And not being afraid to kind of do what you can to meet those needs you have for yourself. Not feeling guilty about it, I think, is a huge thing. Women, we are not indoctrinated to actually pour a lot of energy into ourselves. But again, when we are able to show up for ourselves and give ourselves our own needs and show up from a whole place, we can actually be more in support of other people, not the other way around. Like, yeah, that's the way I try to look at it. If I'm in a really good place and I can actually help people who need my support, but if I'm not, I can't really do that.
Right. And what are, in addition to your own new resource that you're creating, what are some of your favorite self-care resources specifically for Black women?
I think it's Dr. Joy has Therapy for Black Girls, and it's a podcast, but also like she has like a directory of Black therapists, which I think is super crucial. I have a therapist and I speak to her every 2 weeks, and she's a Black woman. But it's really, I think for me and other Black women as well, it's really crucial to find a therapist that is culturally competent. You don't want to have to get in like a therapeutic relationship and have to explain parts of your lived experience, because that I think is something, a microaggression that Black people have to deal with every damn day. So I think if you can eliminate that from like therapy, that's really good. Also, in terms of like meditation, I use Insight Timer, which is a really cool app. I know a lot of people sing the praises of Calm and Headspace, but I think I'm indifferent about those. I think they're good, but for me, I found Insight Timer is really good. Mostly just because like it has such a really great, it's free and also has a really great like interface where you can search and filter very like specifically. Like, for instance, if you want a guided meditation on like disappointment, like I had like a, so I'm trying to sell a book, another book. And a couple weeks ago, I went through a first round of submission and like I got like all rejections at the last minute. So I was like super disappointed. And so like the next morning when I woke up, I was just like, what do I need? And so during meditation, I searched for a meditation on disappointment. And it had like really edifying affirmations for looking at the disappointment in a different way and holding multiple truths at the same time, which is something that I'm learning to do. What else?
Multiple truths at the same time is very much at the core of where my head is at these days, and hopefully trying to communicate to other
Yeah.
people too.
I'm a very black and white person, so that's holding multiple truths is not easy for me. It's usually I'm a very, it's either this or that, like, and so yeah, it's part of like my journey right now is to know that like I can feel a lot of different ways at once. Like I don't need to become super clear to the extent that I only feel one way about something. And I can feel conflicted about something, and that's fine too. Yeah.
Guest of mine recently said that we are allowed to have complicated feelings about things, and I
Yeah.
enjoyed that very much. Also, in my career, I have only ever been rejected for books that I have tried to sell. So if you would ever like to have a glass of wine over Zoom about that, you just let me know.
My gosh. Publishing is just this big entity that I do not understand. And I've been trying to understand it since it's been about 2 years of selling, trying to sell a book. This is the second book I've tried to sell. So yeah, I
It's
don't get it.
difficult, and I don't necessarily understand. I know I don't understand its inner working, so I have adopted a I'm going to do me and create what I love and what I can create, and someday I'm going to let that industry come for me. Because when I have come for it, hasn't been so fun or productive or, all that good for my mental health. So I'm just gonna do what I do, and we'll see what happens down the line.
Yeah, that's real. Honestly, it's the best, I would say, outlook to have, because yeah,
I hope so, because it's what me and my agent are up to these days. We're just gonna that's how it's going. But I also want, like, I have very specific, maybe it's not that specific, I just have very big aspirations. That's what it is. And I, speaking of fucking acknowledging things, I need to be more comfortable acknowledging how big my book dreams are. I do not have bookshelf dreams. I have airport shelf dreams. I want my book to be at the airport, because it would have to be very big for it to be at the airport. I want you to walk by my book when you're on your way to Spain. That's what I would like to have happen. I want you to wheel your suitcase past my book at a Hudson News. That's what I want.
I love that. I think it's important to not make yourself really small. And I think that's something that I've really struggled with as a Black woman, specifically in relation to dating and relationships, which is one of the reasons why in my 30s, I really transitioned from not doing that. Funnily enough, I actually have an essay coming out on Friday about the time that I invoiced two men I was dating for my pain and suffering. So you'll have to look out for that.
Believe I will. I will also be linking to it in the show notes. Yes.
So I realized there was a space where I was just like so accommodating of wanting people to really accommodate who I was, but not really getting that consideration. And by default, it just made me shrink myself into this very small version of me. And that just feels really inauthentic, because I've always been a big thinker and a big dreamer. And so giving myself the space to think big as a Black woman is very revolutionary, because especially like society likes to squeeze Black women to very small spaces and to make us feel like we should be grateful for the crumbs that we get. But I don't want crumbs. I want the whole entire dozen of cookies. Like I
like absolutely.
It's not enough for me to just to get the little sparse whatever leftovers. Like I want it all. And I don't think I should have to feel apologetic for that.
Could not agree with you more, my friend. I think that is, I mean, you know, my brain thinks in Instagram quotes. So I'm just like thinking about what I'm gonna pull out from what you just said so that I can have it to reference all the time, or perhaps print out and hang on a wall. That's also that's also the way that I operate. There's just, I'm so lucky in that I get to speak to so many people who have just this very cool wisdom to them. And I feel a lot less nuts sometimes, like talking to my guests and just being like, oh, I'm not, like, not everything has to be a mental fight for me. Not everything has to be like an argument that I'm trying to write my way out of. Or like, there are people who also think these things and who think them like brilliantly, and that I get to talk to all the time, which is a really great reason to start a podcast. If anyone's listening and they want to start a podcast, do it. You can get a microphone on Amazon. Just go ahead and start, please. What do I want to ask you before we wrap up our time together? So I asked you about resources specifically for Black women. And I'm also, I'm really interested in meditation apps that are voiced by women of color as well. And I think that there are a few more that are coming out.
Yeah. And also Insight Timer has, I feel like they did this last month when it was like the reckoning for Black people in every industry, which no comment on that. But like they did like this list in Insight Timer of like practitioners, I guess, of color. And it was just like all people doing guided meditations. Oh, another one is Black Girl in Om, who is led by Lauren Ash. She has a couple guided meditations on Insight Timer, which is really, she's a really gifted like meditation like person. So it was really nice to hear her meditations.
I also was researching a few Black astrologers recently, and I bought one book from one of them, and I read, like, I instantly devoured the chapter on Cancer Suns. And when I was done, I was like so sad that I had finished my section. And I'm like, Shani, you can read all the section. Like, it's fine. You don't have to just stop with your sun sign. So I'm going to tear into the rest of that. But I have essentially my whole Instagram feed is just astrologers at this point. from like
I
all,
love it.
But great. Yeah. But every time there's a full moon, everyone is interpreting that shit differently and like flooding my feed with this moon is about liberation. No, this moon is about creativity. No, this is about shedding everything that no longer. I'm like, can we pick one and stick with it? I'm very tired.
Oh, I know. It's very subjective. And I think that's why you choose the astrologer or tarot card reader, which I also do tarot cards pulling. I've been pulling tarot cards for about probably 2 years, I think, in December.
Same.
So, Tatiana Otero is a really great resource. Like she's, she also talks about like ancestor veneration a lot, which I think a lot of people have been tapping into, like building like a relationship with your ancestors. And then also Ashley D. Johnson, who is the astrologer for Sora magazine on Medium. So she does weekly horoscopes with them. And is a friend of mine. Who else?
We love Medium around here.
Yeah.
Big fans.
Yeah. So there's honestly, there's just so many in terms of just like tarot and astrology, Black women, so many of us doing it. And I think it's beautiful because I think Black women, especially, I think statistically, like we're the most educated demographic in the country, and also we're the most religious as well. So it's comforting to see people kind of like examine and even challenge the ideals of Christianity that a lot of us were indoctrinated with and kind of find something that works for us. Because I think that's really the point. I don't think it's really about demonizing Christianity. If that works for you, then I guess that's fine. Just as long as you don't use that to be like an ass to me, because I don't have tolerance. But whatever works for you is fine. I don't want you judging what I do, and I'm not going to judge what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
What, outside of the realm of self-care, just inside the realm of quarantine management, what content or people or art, anything, has been helping you keep it together during quarantine? For example, I cannot stop following astrologers, as we've mentioned, but also stand-up comedians and bloggers who choose to decorate their homes with a lot of plants. Those seem to be my genres of just like wormholes that I fall down into and forget that I have to wear a mask when I go outside. So what have you been paying attention to lately that's been soothing you?
Oh my God. My Instagram feed is like, my explore page is really weird because like you said outside of self-care, but like I follow like a lot of Instagram therapists. So like a lot of like what pops up on my explore page are just like graphics about boundaries and like mental health care and things like that. I love those shitty cooking videos just because I cook a lot myself and I like yelling at them and saying, you're not supposed to do that. That's very therapeutic for me personally.
Nice.
What else? Oh, I follow like a lot of, dancers on Instagram, which professional dancers, Jessica Castro is one of them. Sean Bankhead, who is based here in Atlanta and has choreographed for like Normani and different people. So like I like following them because they're like a little community and they all know each other, which is interesting. You don't think about that outside of your own industry, but it's the same thing. But I just like love watching dancing videos just because like I can do a good two-step, you know, but like I can't follow choreography. Like, so I'm always in awe of people who are choreographing entire dance numbers. Like that is a lot.
It is a skill set.
Yeah.
To be a famous choreographer, I feel like, first of all, there are like five of them. You have to be like the best of the best of. If you are doing choreography for Normani, you are the fame of your industry. Mm-hmm. Like you're there. Like that's mm-hmm. just mazel tov. That's mm-hmm. outstanding work on your part. I feel like that's very tight. You're totally right. It's like I like the subculture fame. So like, I get into subculture really heavily sometimes. With this. like when Cheer came out, I was like digging into the cheerleading space.
Yeah,
dance space is a lot more, I think, like pop culture related in a way.
Yeah.
I love unique subcultures that I can watch documentaries about on Netflix. makes me happy.
There aren't any documentaries about this, but it's very weird. Like, you can kind of tell that they all kind of have, like, they're in community with one another, but they all kind of have, like, a contentious attitude towards one another, because essentially, I guess, they are literally in competition. So it's kind of weird, and, like, a lot of them have built massive followings on, like, doing teaching class, like, dancing classes, like, or, like, traveling and just doing teaching classes, and, you know, like, they make snide remarks about such and such's class, and, like, it's petty drama, but I love it.
Oh, I've seen Alyssa Edwards' dance studio. I have seen some petty shit, and it's delicious. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. Yes. I will, of course, link to your first episode on this podcast in the show notes, but please tell everyone how they can follow you and your work online. How can they keep up with what you're doing?
Okay, so I am Afros E Paella. So I guess you're gonna provide that.
I will. I'll take care of it.
It's kind of hard for me to spell it, but like, I mean, I can spell it, but I won't. But I'm the same on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm trying. I've been on Instagram a little bit more often than I used to be because I just have more time, quarantine. But chiefly on Twitter, like, that's my home, is what I tell people. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I have Facebook, but it's private.
You are a bright spot for me on Twitter, because every time I get on Twitter, I'm like, I want to see stuff from you and, like, from people that I follow that I, like, know either tangentially or, like, I'm familiar with, that are not going to reiterate to me how everything's going to hell in a handcart. I like being uplifted on Twitter, and I've followed people to where I know that that's sometimes going to happen, mm-hmm. but it's been really hard. Like, the closer we get to the election and the shittier our coronavirus numbers are, every time I get on Twitter, it's like, literally, I last 10 seconds and I'm like, nope, fuck it, can't do it. I'm too fragile. I can't do it. I want people to, can we just fucking, like, live tweet the, like, the Met Gala again? Like, just something fun. Can we have, where's fun? All right, that was really sad, but.
No, I mean, it's real. Like, how long is this nightmare gonna last? Like, you keep saying, like, it'll be wrapped up, and I'm just like, I really hope I'm not still sitting at home a year from now, because I am going to lose it.
Let me tell you what's gonna come back. The Roaring Twenties are going to come back when this is all done and dusted and we have all been vaccinated and this is fine. The 20s are going to roar. I'm getting on an airplane a lot. Like, I don't want, wouldn't it be nice to just throw all your stuff in storage and just not have a lease and just see how much of the world you can see? Once the American passport gets us there again, I would really like to,
Oh, man. At one point I really did, like, I thought, I was like, man, maybe I should try and get my Nigerian passport. And yeah, that didn't work out. But, like, I was just, like, kind of getting to the point where I was just, like, kind of desperate. It's like, yo, I don't want to get stuck here. It's getting really claustrophobic.
I'm not saying I didn't look into it. I was like, is a German passport a possibility? It is a possibility for my grandfather's children, but not for his grandchildren. So I cannot get a German passport.
Oh, no.
That was a very big bummer for me. But you know what? It's everything's going to be fine, she says, while sweating and not really being sure of herself.
Speaking of Germany, Berlin has a really dope freelancer's visa that is apparently easy to get.
That's what I'm going to go do right now. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast and for sharing your infinite wisdom and for giving me an escape hatch.
Just putting that out there.
Thank you so much for joining me again. It was such a joy to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
We'll do it
again. It's always
sometime.
Fun to talk to you. Yes, you have to.